Well, good morning and welcome everyone. Today we're going to be continuing our series on DNA where we're talking about some of the core values of our church. And today we're talking about our core value of missional living. In other words, carrying out the mission of God. Now, if you're not familiar, the church has been given a divine mission and those in the church have been given a divine mission, which is to make disciples of all nations. Now, this is the mission by which our church derives its individual expression of that mission, which is connecting young families to Christ. And what that means is that we want to help those who are currently not journeying with Jesus to get on journey with Jesus. And I think this is something that we all want. If we're followers of Jesus, we want others to become followers of Jesus. But the question is, well, how do we actually go about doing that? And there's been like a million books written on this topic in particular. I know because I think I own about half of them and I've read about half of them, or maybe a quarter of those half. But there's been a lot out there. And when everything is said and done, I think the best thing that we have is to look at Jesus and say, how did Jesus draw people to himself? How did Jesus get people to get on journey with him? And so when we look at this, we realize that Jesus all along was intentionally pursuing the lost where they are. He was intentionally pursuing the lost where they are. I mean, Jesus, our God, is not a God who just, you know, yells down at us from the clouds and throws lightning bolts. No, he's a God that came down to be with us, to walk amongst us. And when he came down to be as one of us, he did not come as some majestic king that was up in some lofty palace somewhere, inaccessible by the people. No, he came as a commoner. He was born as a baby in a manger. He was a carpenter so that he could talk and interact with us and be down at our level. Our God is the great pursuer. Our God is a God who wants to be known by us, who wants to interact with us, who is intentionally pursuing us where we are, not forcing us to come to him. And the Bible, what's interesting is that we actually have a perfect example of somebody who went from, you know, all the way on this side from not having a relationship with Jesus at all to all the way over here to being one of the most devoted disciples of Jesus that we've ever known. This person is the person of Peter, or Simon Peter as we know him from the Bible. And more is written about Simon Peter than any other disciple. So that's really great for us because we now have sort of insight to his journey from every step of the way along, from going from not knowing Jesus to all the way to being his most devoted disciple. And so today we want to focus on that story and the particular part of that story where Peter first encounters Jesus and first gets on journey with him. Now, if you are listening today and you have not begun your journey with Jesus, then I think you are very much going to resonate with Peter in this story. However, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you'd probably resonate with Jesus in this story. Because Jesus said that we are to follow in his footsteps, that we are to be Christians, which means a little Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors here on earth. Therefore, we are now like Jesus here on earth to other people, to other Peters, and we need to be reaching them just like Jesus reached Peter originally. So let's take a look now at that story that comes to us from Luke chapter 5, and let's see what's going on there. Luke chapter 5, beginning verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Now, what do we see going on here in this story? Although it may seem trivial, we see that Jesus is actually pursuing Peter because he steps into Peter's boat. And this is not a trivial thing because we know that Jesus, at least what we can tell from the text, is he's never met Peter before. Peter's never met Jesus. And so Jesus, he is pursuing an interaction with a stranger, and we can tell that he's being very intentional about this. We know that because the text says that there was actually two boats, yet Jesus chose intentionally to get into the boat with Simon Peter. Of course, he was called Simon at this time because Peter was a name that Jesus gave him later on. So the text refers to him as Simon. And Jesus chose to go into that because he knew that Peter was one that had to follow him. And so this is how we see Jesus initiating. He intentionally pursues Peter where he is. I can resonate with this because there was a time when I was like Peter. I was what you would consider lost. You know, I had not found Jesus yet, or I had not been found by Jesus. I had heard about Jesus, maybe kind of like Peter, you know, that there's someone out there and his name is Jesus and stuff. I didn't really know Jesus personally. I was just finishing grade 9 at this time, and my family had just moved to a new town, which meant I had to make all new friends all over again. That's always a difficult process. And I was not looking forward to this, and I happened to be homeschooled at the time, so I couldn't even, you know, I didn't have the luxury of going to class to meet other kids my age, so I didn't know what to do, and I was very bored. And there was a local girl, and I remember she was cute, and so I wanted to hang out with her. I was just grade 9 at this time, but, you know, things were moving. And she invited me to a local youth group. It was an Alliance youth group at an Alliance church. Our church is an Alliance church, although it's not in the name. And so I was like, yeah, I'll go to this youth group and meet some kids. And so I went with her to this youth group. And there I was, like Peter. I was sort of lost. I'm in the foyer, feeling nervous, feeling a little bit lonely. And what happened is that some Christians came over, and they intentionally initiated a relationship with me. They came over to me. They got to know me. They invited me over to their house, and we became friends. And really that, I would have to say, was the beginning of my journey, just like it was the beginning of Peter's journey when Jesus stepped into his boat. I guess you could say I was in the same boat as Peter. okay, anyways. It's harder when there's no one here to laugh, not like you would anyways, but. So, the question is, you got these two parallel stories. Well, which character do you resonate with? Do you resonate with Peter or Jesus? Do you resonate with me or those Christians in the youth group foyer, right? This is important. Chances are, if you've not started your journey with Jesus, you resonate with Peter. Heard about this person, Jesus, but you're not sure who he is or what he's all about or what it means to have a relationship with him. And if you're like Jesus in the story, if you're a Christian, then you are an ambassador of Jesus in this world to those that don't know Jesus, to the Peters of this world. And you need to, like Jesus, then intentionally pursue the lost where they are. You need to intentionally pursue relationships with those people who are not followers of Jesus. And how do we do this? That's the question, right? How do we do this? Well, I say this is how it needs to start. It needs to start always with prayer and with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it starts with God. We need to pray to God and just ask for opportunities. Opportunities won't come unless we ask for them. And you'd be surprised, as soon as you start praying for opportunities to be able to build relationships with people who are non-believers, and you'd be surprised how quickly the opportunities come up. And I know that it's difficult these days with the situation we're in to do that. It's a lot harder than it used to be. But there are still opportunities and ways out there. If you pray for them, then you will see. And then you ask the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes to those opportunities, you know, and you will find that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. He can prompt you and bring things to your mind and help you identify those opportunities as he brings them your way. And then you just need to respond. Now, as I said, it's difficult to do these days. But this is what I used to tell people, and I still believe this, and I read it in a book once, and that is evangelism is simply doing what you love with non-believers. Doing what you love with non-believers. Maybe that's more difficult to do these days, but let's say you're into reading, okay? Then do a book club. And, you know, in this case, you know, do a virtual book club, but, you know, do a book club. If you're into running, join a running club or whatever it happens to be. I happen to love playing a particular sport, the sport of squash. You probably haven't heard of it. That's just fine. That's my fault. it's a weird sport. But I'm into this sport, and I like this sport. And it has its advantages in that it's a very niche sport, so it has a very small community. And I plug myself into this community, and I get to know these people, and I've joined the squash league, and I travel around, and I have a team. The team members, and I've gotten to know a lot of people through this and built a lot of relationships with the Peters of this world, with people who were lost, like me, people who didn't know Jesus like I didn't when I was in grade 9. And so I built relationships with these people, and even during this pandemic, I've still been able to interact with many of these people. Even with the government-imposed lockdown, I've still been able to text them and chat with them and those kinds of things. And so you need to ask yourself, who am I intentionally pursuing relationship with right now? Is there somebody? There definitely should be somebody that you are intentionally pursuing relationship right now. When it comes down to it, most people, when you hear about their journey towards Jesus, chances are it started this way. Chances are it began because somebody who was a follower of Jesus built a relationship with them, and that's how it all began. So what comes next? Well, let's take a look back at the story that we are reading about in the Gospel of Luke. Look at the next sentence. It says a lot. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. What happens next is Jesus simply makes sure that Peter has an opportunity to hear his message. Peter hears the message of Jesus. And going back to my story of how I came to faith in Jesus, I had had this relationship with some Christians, and I still hadn't heard the message of Jesus, though, right? I just had this relationship. But, through being their friend, they invited me to church and some events and different things that they were going to. And through those things, I was able to hear the gospel message, the message of Jesus. And also not just that, I was able to, just through hanging out with them, to hear about Jesus and bits and pieces of the message of Jesus. Even though a lot of times that message wasn't directly, directed at me. And in fact, I can't actually remember any time when my friends ever really sat me down and, went through, systematically the message of Jesus and who Jesus is and what that means for me. They never walked me through the passages of the Bible. But just through interacting with them, I got pieces of it, pieces of the puzzle, pieces of the message about Jesus, and I started to respond to it. I started to have conversations about who Jesus was, and then my friends were quick to give answers when I asked. Now, if we are followers of Jesus, our responsibility doesn't just stop with building a relationship with those that don't know Jesus. We also have a responsibility to make sure that those Peters in our lives have ample opportunity to hear the message of Jesus, to hear the message of Jesus. And this begins, like I said, the same way that all work of God begins, through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. God initiates everything. So we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would help give us the courage to share the message, or help our friends to want to ask questions, or to help our friends to understand it, to illuminate their minds to God's word. Because unless the Holy Spirit is working in someone's life to expand their mind, to actually understand it, the words will just be words on the page of the Bible, or they'll just be words coming out of your mouth that just go one ear and out the other. You need the Holy Spirit to give life to the words and to the message. And so you need to pray and ask God for that. Ask God to assist you through the power of His Holy Spirit. Pray that the Holy Spirit would not only help people understand the message, but also would give you the words and the diplomacy and the understanding to be able to communicate that in a way that's going to be easy to receive by those who you're sharing with. And most commonly, I mean, people hearing the message of Jesus does take the form of us, either sharing our story of how we came to faith or sharing with them the gospel message from the Bible. But that's certainly not the only way it can happen. For example, you could invite those Peters in your life into an alpha group. And through that alpha small group, they could ask questions and hear bits and pieces about the message of Jesus. You could, at least this was easier back in the day, but you could invite them to hang out with you when you hang out with your other Christian friends. I used to do this sometimes because, when I hang out with my other Christian friends, we have lots of conversations about Jesus, because Jesus is something we hold in common. And so that person then, just by being there, sort of hears how you talk about God, hears about your personal relationship with Him, hears about how He's answering your prayers, how He's working in your life. And most of all, I feel it comes by simply just being honest about your faith. Be honest about your faith with other people, and don't leave God out of those conversations just because it may feel awkward. Because certainly our culture has made conversations about God seem awkward or inappropriate in average conversation. But let's say you're just talking to someone about your day. Well, when you talk to someone about, you know, how's your day, or they ask you how your day is, and you tell your friend about that, I mean, you generally, you know, talk about the ups and downs and the things you did, whether they're mundane or not. And if you're a Christian, chances are God was in your day somewhere. Maybe you read the Bible and he spoke to you. Maybe you prayed to God. Maybe you were feeling anxious, but then you were reminded of something that God said. Or you went to church and you were inspired or something like that. Chances are God was in your day somewhere. And so my suggestion would be, when you communicate your life and the events of your day, just don't leave God out of it. Don't tiptoe around God because it doesn't feel comfortable. You know, just be honest about your journey, what God's speaking to you. I mean, don't try to generate something out of nowhere, but just share with people as God works in your life day to day. Let's say, for example, like your car breaks down, or you're talking with your friend about how annoying it is when your car breaks down and you have to fix it. I mean, why not recall that situation, that one time when your car broke down and you were strapped for cash and you prayed and God delivered? I mean, why not? Don't leave God out of it. I know for me, one of the most common ways that God comes into conversation is when people ask me to tell them the story about how I met my wife, Lacey. And I'll tell you, that is a God story, because God is all through that story, and I don't leave God out of it. I tell the story as it really happened, as I experienced it, and people end up hearing about the wonders of God. And so that's what you got to do. After you get to know a Peter, your next responsibility is simply to make sure that that person has ample opportunity to hear the message of Jesus. Just as Peter had an opportunity to hear the message of Jesus as he sat 3 feet away from him in that boat. I don't know if it was 3 feet. Maybe it was 2 meters. I don't know how. The Bible doesn't say. But he was in the boat next to Jesus as Jesus shared his message with the people. And the last thing we see in the story is that Jesus not only allowed Peter to hear his message, but he allowed Peter to experience, to witness his message firsthand, like the reality of it. I want to pick up again in verse 4 here, and the rest of the passage will show us how he does this. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners to come in the other boat and to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. See, Jesus here, he shares his message with Peter, but he doesn't stop there. He actually then proves to him that what he said about himself is true. And it's only after Peter witnesses that he actually decides to follow him. It's not until he witnesses it firsthand that he decides to follow him. To be honest, I don't think Peter was ready before he witnessed the miracle. He wasn't convinced. And so this is what Jesus does. He does something extraordinary to prove that what he said, that his message is true. And after Peter witnesses it firsthand, that's when, you know, he's willing to actually give his life to Jesus and say, "I'm willing to follow you." And I find it's the same way in people's life. It certainly was the same way in my story too. I mean, I had built relationships with these Christian teenagers in the youth group. I had begun to hear the message of Jesus. I had heard it several times. But I still, you know, hadn't witnessed it. I wasn't willing to give my life to something, to commit my whole life to something, to someone who I wasn't sure about. Unless I had witnessed it to be true or evidence for it, I wasn't willing to make that kind of commitment. But thankfully, over time, I did, and I was able to witness this the reality of this message. I mean, it's not that my friends performed any miracles, because they didn't, but they certainly proved it to me through their lives and how they lived. I mean, I was able to witness them. If they talked about how God speaks to them, they really proved it by asking God for direction and receiving direction. They talked about how God loved them. They actually proved it through sharing emotional experiences with tears about how God's love broke through in their lives. If they talked about how, you know, Jesus calls us to live a holy life in these kinds, they proved it by actually living transformed lives. They looked very different than those other people in school that were partying and doing those other things and chasing after girls. They were different. They proved it through the lives that they lived. And my friends, as Jesus followers, not only do we need to initiate those relationships and share the message of Jesus, but also at the same time, we need to prove through our lives that the message is true. We need to give evidence to it if people are going to follow Jesus. If you do not walk the walk, my friends, if you just talk the talk, no one's going to care. The message is not going to mean anything. They're going to think you're a hypocrite, and they're actually more so going to think that the message is untrue. Your actions will always need to line up with the truth of Jesus. You have to become more like Jesus. If you don't do that, people are going to say, sorry, I can't hear you, because your actions are speaking too loud. Your actions have to match the message of Jesus. And so how do we do this? Well, again, same thing. We pray and we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, for who can transform us but the Holy Spirit? We need to pray that we would be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, that we would have radical love and generosity and peace and patience, that we'd have radical humility. I mean, that's what we need to ask for. We need to have that radical happiness and joy that only comes when we're filled with God's Holy Spirit. If we do this, then we become true ambassadors of Jesus, like little Christ. And then people do see Jesus in us, and they say, I want to be like that. His message must be true. And not only do we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, but we also have to try to our best to live a Christ-like life. We have to do that. Listen, there's no point in inviting your friend to church if after church you take them out to eat and you don't pay for their food, or you don't help them move when they're in need. I mean, you need to actually have your actions line up here. There's no point in telling someone about the love of Jesus and then all you do is talk about how much you hate this person or that person or your parents or the government or whatever. I mean, there's no point in telling the people that you have to live according to the Bible and yet your life looks nothing like biblical standards. I mean, you can't do that. You're a hypocrite. One of the best ways I have found to be able to witness to people, not just through my life, but to help them to witness the truth of the message of Jesus, is that what I'll do is I'll simply pray for people out loud. Because I think not only do people need to see it in your life, but sometimes people need to witness not just you, but the power and presence of God. Because they may be able to say, well, you're just a nice guy, you're just a moral person, and Jesus and his message is just psychology, and that's good for you, but that's not true for me. So people need to witness that God is real. And one of the best ways I have found to do this is that I'll simply ask people how I can pray for them, and then I pray for them right there out loud so they can hear and so they know it. If I do this, I feel like this is a great way, because I'm giving this person an opportunity to experience God, and I'm giving God an opportunity to show up and reveal himself in their life. And that's all I do. I don't know if God's going to take that opportunity, but all I can do is pray. And if I put myself out there, take a risk, pray for this person's need out loud, then an opportunity is created and God is able to show up powerfully. I recall one time I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who I play squash with. We just finished playing squash, and he shared with me, because we had built a relationship, he shared with me that him and his wife had tried for many years to try to get pregnant, but it wasn't happening. I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, prompt me, because I do pray before I play squash. I pray that God gives me opportunity. And so I became aware this was an opportunity. And I said to him, I said, well, you know what? The Bible is full of examples of God dealing with this exact same thing, this issue of infertility. And God's kind of known for that, and God answers prayer, and he's a big God. And so would it be okay, could I pray for you right now about this issue? And he said, sure. So right there, out just outside the squash courts, I put my hand on his shoulder, and I prayed for him. A few months later, he calls me up. He says, you're never going to believe this. we're pregnant. I just wanted you to know. And I said right there on the phone, I said, that's nothing I did. That's God. God did that because God loves you and God wants you to know that he is real and he wants a relationship with you. And I said, can we pray? And we just prayed together and we gave thanks to God right there on the phone. And that wasn't even that long ago that this happened. It was just before for the pandemic. And it was a powerful, it was a way that I just opened up the door, responded to the Holy Spirit and said, God, if you want to do something, you can do it. And God totally showed up and did an amazing thing. And it really helped strengthen that man and put him on a trajectory closer to Jesus, right? And listen, my friends, this is so important because the world as we know is changing very much. People are not responding to the gospel in the same way they did a generation or two ago. And the church needs to realize this and make adjustments. We as Christians need to realize this and make adjustments. Even though often the church is very slow to change, we need to realize this and start making these adjustments. We need to realize that people, especially this next generation, is not going to come to faith because, like the last generation, they believe that they're sinners and they've broken, you know, God's law and they're bad people and they need God's forgiveness or they're going to be judged or punished because of that. People aren't going to believe in that. Why? Because there's a strong philosophy within our culture that everyone is naturally good. Nobody is bad. They're all good people. And truth is sort of relative. It sort of depends on your own opinions, right? I mean, we can see that a lot of ways this is taking place, right? There's no, you know, there's not like truth, like one truth. There's like whatever. So it's like whatever's true for you, you got to live your truth. And so there's no sense of like guilt, you know, like I didn't live up to some standard or anything. So people are not going to come to faith because they feel like they're sinners, but they're going to come to, but they still have needs, right? And they're still spiritual and they still are longing for something more. And God can still come in and they can experience his presence and he can come in power and meet needs in their lives. And when you think about this, this isn't that bad actually, because didn't Peter have a need, right? I mean, he was a fisherman. He fished all night. They couldn't find anything. They were hungry. They were starving. This is their livelihood. And then Jesus comes and he meets that need through a miracle. Right, and it seems from this passage, though, that's what Peter needed in order to follow him. So is it so shallow to think that it's okay that people might need God to show up in a significant way in their life to meet some need before they're even willing to consider walking with him? No, I don't think that's strange. I mean, I think they encounter the power and presence of God and making Jesus Lord over your life. You know, that's a big step. That comes later. But you need something to bring them in. And you need to realize if people these days, if they're not followers of Jesus, they probably don't care at all about Jesus unless he can do something for them. I love this quote from Dr. Rob Reamer. He says, more people today will be convinced not because they feel they are a sinner that needs to be saved, but because they witness the true power and presence of God in their lives. My friends, people need to experience the power and presence of God. And like I said, one of the best ways I found to do that is when a need arises with a non-believer, with a Peter, I just say to them, is there something you want Jesus to do for you? Can I pray for you? And I just pray right there out loud and I open up the door. Or sometimes they go, you know, I just want to experience God or something real. And I say, can I pray for you? And I'll ask the Holy Spirit to come and we'll see. And you can listen to God and he can speak to you. And let's see if he speaks to you. And I've actually seen non-Christians experience the voice of God during those times. And God spoke to them. And it was powerful. It's powerful. So in summary, my friends, we are each called as Christians to be ambassadors of Jesus, to do our part to fulfill his mission of making disciples of all nations. And that means that each and every single one of us needs to intentionally pursue the lost where they are, intentionally pursue a relationship with those Peters. Then we need to ensure that they have an opportunity to hear the message of Jesus, whether we're telling them directly or there's some other way. And thirdly, we need to actually then enable them to witness the truth of that message, both through the lives that we live and through them experiencing the power and presence of God. This is the example that Jesus gives us of how someone gets on journeying with Jesus. This is how it happens, my friends. And unless each and every single one of us in the church is doing that in our lives, we're never going to achieve our mission of connecting young families to Christ. We desperately want to see the next generation who doesn't know Jesus come to follow and to serve him, or that next generation that is struggling or they're wavering and they're not sure if they want their families to come to church or to be Christians or to identify that way or to read their Bible. We want to help whatever we can to get that next generation committed to Christ, because how are we going to make disciples of the whole world unless we reach the next generation, because each generation of old is passing away. And as we saw from the message of Jesus, this is how we do it. This is how we go about it. And it's corporate and it's individual. And it's something we can all do. And if each person is doing this, even with just one, two, or three people in their lives, we would see amazing things. If we pursued this, we would see many people come to the Lord, and we would see lots of conversions and lots of baptisms, things that we long to see that we have not seen. And listen, my friends, I do believe this works, because one of the most popular questions for me to ask someone, if I don't know them that well, or I'm just getting to know them, I'll always ask them, tell me the story of your spiritual journey. And when people tell me their story, it almost always follows this path. You know, they didn't know Jesus, and then they met a Christian, and they built a relationship with them, and through that relationship, they were able to hear about Jesus and hear the message of Jesus, and then they witnessed that it was true in their life, and they had something that they wanted, and then they experienced God, and then they made a commitment to follow him, right? Almost probably like 80% of the stories I hear follow that pattern, you know? And so I think as a church, we need to also be living that pattern, to be missional living. That's what it means to live on mission, is to live that kind of a life, building relationships, sharing the message, and living the life in front of others, in front of non-believers. That's what it means. As my hope and my prayer that as a congregation, we will start doing that. And I think if we do that, we will begin to see great things. We'll begin to see the church grow in the way we want to. We will begin to see people who never knew Jesus come to know him for the first time. And I tell you, nothing is more exciting than to see the wonder in the eyes of someone who has come to Jesus for the first time. You know, their faith is on fire. They want to share. They're hungry for the word and to learn and to be mentored. And there's so much we have to give those people. But we need that influx, you know. And so I just want to pray for you today in this, because like any work of God, it begins with prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray now. Dear God, we come to you with open hands, because like we got no power, we got nothing. We can never change a person's heart or cause anyone to accept you as their Lord and Savior. We can't. But you can do this, Lord. And we know that you have chosen, for whatever reason, to actually do this through us. Through instruments, through vessels of your Holy Spirit, you've chosen to work through us so that we would be like your hands and feet and voice, that we would be your ambassadors. But only if you fill us and move us are we actually able to have any kind of effectiveness, and we know that. So would you fill us, Holy Spirit? Fill us with the power. For as it says in your word in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Or would you fill us, Holy Spirit, so that we could be your witnesses to the very ends of the earth? Lord, would you give us those opportunities, even during this time, to build relationships with those Peters that you have placed into our lives? Help us to be aware of that. Would you give us opportunity to build relationships and also opportunities to be able to share your message with them? Whether that's just sharing something we've read in the Bible or events of the day or whatever it happens to be, give us opportunities to share your message. And Lord, would you also help those people that we're reaching out to, that we're building relationships with, would you manifest your power and presence in their lives? Give us boldness to pray for them. And would you sanctify us, Lord? Refine us like a refiner's fire to give us holy lives, different lives, that when people look at us, they will see, this person is different and I want what they got. Lord, would you transform us, and would you do this so that this church would be a church that is known for people coming to faith, for new families connecting to Christ for the first time. Well, Lord, we want this so much, and we know that you want this. So when we pray for this, we know that we are 100% praying in your will. And as it says in your word in 1 John, you said that if you pray anything according to my will, you know that you already have what you've prayed for. And so we thank you, Lord, that you've already given us this, because we are praying for this, and this is what you want. For you want none to perish and none to pass away. So empower us, Holy Spirit, for your glory and your name's sake, that you would be lifted high in the lives of many more people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to thank you all for tuning in today, and I pray that God, the Father of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, would bless you and keep you this week and empower you with his Holy Spirit. Amen.